Bill Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Henry. Good morning. It's the 30th of September, 2020, and my name is Arthur. I'm going to start this show off with a shadow. The Power of the Mind, with an original air date of the 24th of April, 1938. This stars Orson Welles as The Shadow and Lamont Cranston. Also notable is Margot Stevenson plays Margot Lame instead of Agnes Moorehead portraying her role. I'm not certain if this is a summer series or if this is just one of the last ones to run for that term. But anyway, this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Thanks for listening.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men. The shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the next adventure of the Shadow as in all his adventures, the news about his exploits are often known to the underworld almost as soon as they happen. And I want to tell you that the news about the new Goodrich Silvertown tire is traveling like wildfire among motorists all over America. It's because this new Silvertown is so sensational in action and appearance, it's really a new kind of tire. You've never seen anything like it. It even looks different, for its tread is wider and flatter, and every inch of the tread is covered with row upon row of never-ending spiral bars. And those spiral bars do the same job on a wet, slippery road as your windshield wiper does to your windshield. They sweep the water right and left. They force the water out through the deep drainage groove. Thanks to that lifesaver tread, your tire actually has a drier, safer road surface for the rubber to grip. Just think, motorist. Here is a tread that's actually a road drier. No wonder the new Silvertown will stop you quicker and protect you against the dangers of skidding as never before. And here's a sincere and friendly tip. Don't fail to see and drive on the new Goodrich Silvertown the very first chance you get. Get a free demonstration. Take it from me, you'll get the driving thrill of a lifetime. And remember, only the new Silvertown offers you two great life-saving features. Lifesaver tread skid protection and the famous Golden Ply blowout protection at no extra cost. The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Power of the Mind.
Thank you. Texas, Paper, laboratory of famous chemist Rex, discoverer of new mystery explosive missing. Paper.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a special radio flash on the mysterious disappearance of Professor John Hardy. He was last seen entering a black limousine and was accompanied by a heavy-set man wearing a Van Dyke beard and a tall, slender woman of foreign appearance. Secret Service agents are reported investigating the case due to the importance attached to the professor's reported discovery of a new type explosive, more powerful than any known to munition makers in any country in the world.
Come in. Come into my cabin, dear Countess Anna.
Well, Richter, has your very stubborn and courageous American inventor talk given you the formula for that high explosive he so determined shall fall into no other hands save his own government?
No, but he will. He can't stand much more of Ivan's treatment with the whip.
Be careful. Too much torture can destroy the mind, and if Professor Hardy's mind snaps, you will never get the formula, because we know for certain he has never written it down.
I know. I have warned Ivan to be careful.
Ivan's idea of care is to see how close he can come to whipping a man to death without actually doing so. Why do you keep that big brute as a bodyguard? He has the mind of a child.
In our business of espionage, Countess Anna, it is often useful to have servants who cannot think for themselves. Besides, Ivan is rather cunning in an animal sort of way.
Stop!
Listen.
I can't stand anymore. I can't. Don't hit me again.
Did you hear that? Success at last, my dear Countess. I think Professor Hardy is ready to give us the formula.
No. Don't hit me. I'll tell you where I hid the gold. I found it, but I hid it. I found it at the end of the rainbow, and I hid it.
I hid it, but I'll tell you. Richter, I warned you. His mind has snapped.
Ivan, you fool. I told you to be careful. Give me that whip. I told you.
I don't strike him hard. I don't.
Oh, stop it. What good will it do you to beat Ivan? He doesn't even feel it. It's your fault. You should have watched him better.
So you're telling me what to do, are you, Countess?
It's about time someone did. You've certainly bungled this. Now how are you going to get the formula? The man's out of his mind. No amount of physical torture can make him tell us.
I'll show you where I hit the gold. Take him back down to the hold of the ship, Ivan.
I obey. Come, Professor. Come with me.
It's at the end of the rainbow, the gold.
So, you've destroyed his mind. Good work. It's like having the formula in a sealed envelope and throwing it in the fire. Now what are you going to report to headquarters?
Be quiet, Anna. I'm not finished. There's still a chance. Another way of getting his secret out of him. Even if his mind is gone. It may be an easier, surer way. Oh, why didn't I think of it before?
What are you talking about? How can there be any other way with his mind destroyed by days and days of Ivan's fiendish torture with the whip?
Sarah, it so happens that a fellow countryman of mine, Dr. Waldeck, one of the world's greatest psychiatrists, is in this country. Right here in the city.
And I suppose he'll gladly come down to the ship, the Star of Zealand, and get Professor Hardy's secret from him for you.
No, not gladly, perhaps, my dear Countess. But he will come. Just wait and see.
I enjoyed your lecture very much, Dr. Waldeck. Our club has been honored tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Cranston. You are a scientist interested in psychiatry?
Well, in a way, Dr. Waldeck, I'm really only an amateur criminologist.
So, then perhaps you could tell me something of this remarkable man I've heard so much about. Even before I made this trip to America, a man called The Shadow.
The Shadow? I'm afraid not, Doctor. No one knows very much about him. Have you heard?
Oh, a great deal. I understand he is a master of mass hypnosis, of method suggestion. He has you criminals and police quite baffled by his ability to appear in a room A room crowded as, let us say, this club of yours and yet remain unseen.
You seem to have no doubt of the Shadow's existence. His powers, Doctor.
Oh, none whatever, Mr. Cranston. In fact, I should like to meet this Shadow. Ah, but then I suppose I should have to commit some crime in order to do so, and I wouldn't care to carry my scientific research quite that far.
I think the Shadow would enjoy meeting you, Doctor. You have much in common. I think you would be profoundly interested in your work in psychic research, particularly in the field of mental telepathy. You know, it might be interesting if you and the Shadow could make a test of thought transmission of a purely mental telepathic method.
It would indeed. Ah, this Shadow, from what I hear, he has little time for theory. He deals mainly in the harsh realities of criminal investigation.
Yes, but the two pursuits are not as far removed from each other as some persons seem to think.
Message for Dr. Waldeck. Dr. Waldeck.
Right here, John. A message for you, Doctor.
Here you are, Doctor. The gentleman and the lady are waiting outside in their car.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Well, that's unusual. Most unusual.
Is there any answer, Doctor?
Answer? Yes. Say to the Countess I will come immediately.
All right.
I will do what I can. You will excuse me, Mr. Cranston. A countrywoman of mine is in need of help, and I must go at once. Perhaps we will meet again.
Well, goodbye.
Come in. Come in.
So here you are, Lamont Cranston. I thought you promised to take me to dinner tonight. You're an hour late.
I know. I'm terribly sorry, Margot.
You're sorry, but Margot Lane, your assistant, is hungry. What's the matter, Lamont? You seem preoccupied. Was anything troubling you?
Yes, Margaret, something is troubling me, but I'm blessed if I know what it is.
Would it be Dr. Waldeck? Ever since you talked to him at the club last night, you've been wondering if he just suspected that you are the Shadow.
I don't think he knows, Margot.
Then what are you worrying about?
Simply that all day long I've had the feeling that Dr. Waldeck has been trying to get in touch with me, or rather, I should say, with the Shadow.
But how could
he? Waldeck practiced what he preached. He is a master of mental telepathy.
Well, the Shadow isn't exactly a novice at mental telepathy either. What makes you think he's trying to get in touch with you?
At intervals, all day, my mind has kept reverting to thoughts of distress, coupled with Waldeck's name. Waldeck's name and another name. Star of Zealand.
That sounds like the name of a ship.
Perhaps, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, it seems to me it'd be easy to find out if Dr. Waldeck's in trouble. Why not call his hotel?
I've been on the point of doing it several times, but...
Here, give me that phone. Let me call him. The trouble. You, Lamont, get so wrapped up in things like thought transmission. You forget the obvious. Telephone.
That's why I have an efficient assistant like you.
Hello? Will you connect me with Dr. Waldeck's suite? What? Are you sure? The secretary's had no word either. No. Never mind, thank you.
Doesn't the hotel know where Waldeck is?
No, he hasn't been seen or heard from since he left your club last night at 11 o'clock.
Well, he is in trouble. He has been trying to communicate with me, with the Shadow.
Lamont, that other name, Star of Zealand. Maybe he's been trying to let you know where he is.
Yes, yes, now I'm sure of it. Star of Zealand. You said it sounded like the name of a ship. It's just possible. Hand me that newspaper, Margot.
Yes, got it here.
Yeah, the shipping news. Let's see. Here it is. Sailing, arrivals, departures in port. Margot, there is such a ship in port. Star of Zealand. A freighter, general cargo, Pier 83. Margot, is your car outside?
Yes. Want me to drive you down to the dock?
Yes. Come on. There isn't a minute to lose. That ship is scheduled to sail at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And you think Dr. Waldeck is on board?
Yes, and I'm just as certain he's in trouble and needs help. Help from the Shadow.
That must be the Star of Zealand over there, Lamont.
Just a couple more blocks, Margot.
Wouldn't it be better to let the police investigate? You have so little to go on. You can't even be sure there is anything wrong.
If I can't convince you, Margot, what chance do you think I'd have of persuading the police to board a tramp steamer and search it for a man I'd even reported missing?
But how on earth will you search a ship without help? It would take hours.
It won't be necessary. I'll know if there's anything wrong if Waldeck's there. 5 minutes after I've walked on the gangplank, that I'm going aboard as the Shadow.
We're nearly there.
Slow down. Stop by the next pier. I don't think you'd better wait, Margot. This is a tough section and it's late.
All the more reason for my waiting. Don't worry about me, Lamont. I'll lock the car doors. And another thing is, if you're not back in 15 minutes...
No, Margot, I may need more time, but keep the shortwave radio tuned in our usual band. If you don't hear from me in half an hour, then go ahead and notify the police.
All right, half an hour, but not a minute longer. I wish I knew what you were walking into, Lamont. I don't like this mental telepathy blind man's buff.
Neither do I, Margot, but during the ride down here, I've had a stronger feeling than I did at first that Dr. Waldeck is in desperate need of help. Stay in the car, Margot. Lock the doors and sit tight until I come back. Or you hear from the shadow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the shadow in a moment to find out what new spot his enemies have put him on. But first, here's a word of advice to every motorist. Don't let wet, skiddy pavement put you on the spot.
Beware. How fast can you stop? Will your tires slip or grip? Don't gamble.
And motorists, if there is one tire that has taken the gamble out of skidding, it's the new Goodrich Silvertown with the Lifesaver Tread. For exhaustive road tests of the regular and premium price tires of America's six largest tire manufacturers, prove that the Silvertown gave greater skid resistance than any of the other tires tested. And don't forget, all during these tests, it was hands-off for Goodrich engineers. Instead, these tests were conducted by absolutely impartial engineers from America's largest independent testing laboratory, the Pittsburgh Testing Laboratory. What's more, some of the tires the Silvertown was tested against have list prices of 40 to 70% more. And that can mean only one thing, motorists. No other tire, regardless of price, can give you the superior skid protection of the Lifesaver Tread. With Lifesaver Tread Silvertowns on your car, you'll stop quicker, safer on a wet pavement than you've ever stopped before. Just think, the quickest non-skid stops ever with the Lifesaver Tread. Real blowout protection, too, with the famous Goodrich Golden Fly. And these two Goodrich safety features are now yours in the new Silvertown at no extra cost. Take a tip from me. For safety's sake, ride on Goodrich Safety Silvertown.
Well, my good Dr. Waldeck, what success have you had with our stubborn mental patient, eh?
None, Victor.
Come now, Doctor. You've been here on the Star of Zealand since last night.
Not by my choice.
I admit that. But surely you, one of the world's greatest psychiatrists, are not going to allow a deranged mind to stand between you and your chance of leaving this ship alive.
It is impossible, I tell you. Only one thought dominates the mind of Professor Hardy. If you had not allowed your servant to unmercifully beat him, it would not be so difficult.
I did not have come down here to listen to excuses. I want that explosive formula from Professor Hardy. And I mean to get it. Now.
Very well. He is there in the bunk, sleeping. Perhaps you could succeed where I have failed.
You haven't failed. You haven't tried to penetrate his subconscious mind. But you're going to try. Devon, come here. Bring your whip.
The whip failed you once, Victor. It will fail you again. You brought me here against my will. But neither you nor that brute and his whip can make me reveal the secret knowledge of that man's mind. A secret he sacrificed his reason to keep from you.
We shall see if you have the same courage and determination as Professor Hardy. Ivan.
I am ready.
Very well, Dr. Waldeck. One last chance. Get Hardy out of that bunk. Question him. Use the method you so eloquently described at your lecture last night. The method used to penetrate the subconscious of amnesia victims.
No, I refuse.
The possession of Professor Hardy's formula, the formula of the most powerful explosive ever known, is vital to our country. Your country, Dr. Waldeck. If you refuse, you are an enemy of your people.
I am a man of science. My nationality was an accident of birth.
You are a traitor.
In your eyes, perhaps. Just as in mine, you are a common thief.
Hold your tongue.
They cheat.
Do as you're told.
And they coward.
Emmanuel, the whip. We'll see who is a coward.
Yes. Mr. Richter, you...
Didn't touch him. What's the matter with you? Why did you throw the whip away?
Something touched me. Knocked the whip from my hand.
You're crazy. You dropped it. Get it.
No, I swear. Something knocked it from my hand.
Pick up that whip, I say. Pick it up.
But, Mr. Richter, the whip, it moves. It moves like a living thing, like a neck!
That is it, Dr. Wernick. Trying to save yourself by fogging Ivan's mind. Making him see by hypnotic trance. Whips move like snakes, sir. Well, I'll show you. I can use a whip, too. Stay where you are, Doctor. Or do you think you can stop me pulling the trigger of this gun?
Your servant is not imagining things, Victor. He is not seeing things which have not happened. He is not hypnotized.
Something knocked the whip from my hand. I swear. did you hear that? Laughter. Laughter. Like the laughter of Satan. Something. Somebody.
Be still, you fool.
You heard it too. You heard it.
Yes, your master heard it.
Ah, the shadow. You heard my appeal. You have come.
The shadow.
Then it is possible. Telepathic communication between two minds, far removed, without mutual concentration of thought.
Yes, Dr. Waldeck, a theory is being proved, but a fact remains.
Is this another of your psychic tricks, Doctor?
Richter, surely your activities in espionage have brought you in contact with those who have warned you against the shadow.
The shadow? So you are the shadow? Waldeck got word to you, did he?
Yes, but in a manner beyond your comprehension.
Ivan, get out quick. Close the iron door. Don't open it again until I order it.
Yes. Yes, I obey.
Your gun is trembling, Richter. Dr. Waldeck was right. You are a coward.
At least I don't hide in shadows. So, you've come to save Dr. Waldeck, eh?
I came here in answer to his call for help, but now that I am here...
Now that you're here, Shadow, you will remain. You have walked into a trap. A trap that will hold you until I am ready to deal with you in my own way. You and Waldeck and Professor Hardy there. You, Shadow... may even be useful in an event that the good doctor fails me.
Hello? Hello?
Captain, Victor speaking.
Yes, sir.
Order your crew to the post. Cut off. We sail at once.
But it is not 6 o'clock, sir.
Obey my orders. We sail at once.
Yes, sir. As you command.
There. Ivan, open the door. Don't waste your time in trying to get out of this hole here. Even you cannot walk through steel doors, Shadow. In a few hours, we will be at sea, and you'll be beyond help. As for you, Dr. Waldeck, I advise you to enlist the aid of the Shadow in securing Professor Hardy's secret, if you value your life. Yes? Come in.
You're getting underway, Mr. Richter. Are there any further orders?
Yes, Captain. As soon as we are at sea... I want half a dozen of your best men. Arm them with rifles and revolvers. Have them report here to me.
Yes, sir.
Why are we leaving so early? Oh, good morning, Captain.
Oh, Countess. Beg your pardon, but have you been in your cabin?
I haven't left it until now. Why?
Why do you ask? What's wrong? Only speak up, man.
A young woman was seen coming on board just before we cast off, sir.
What? Are you sure?
Yes, sir. My second mate mentioned it, but thought it was Countess Zara.
It couldn't have been.
Captain, take every member of your crew you can get. Search the ship. Find that woman and bring her here.
Yes, sir. We will find her if she is aboard.
Margot Lane. Margot Lane. Notify police and Coast Guard. Notify police and Coast Guard. Professor John Hardy and Dr. Waldeck, prisoners in hold of Star of Zealand. Aboard Star of Zealand, proceeding to sea. Proceeding to sea. Repeat message. Margot Lane, repeat, repeat message. Margot, repeat. Why don't you answer? Why don't you answer?
Was that you talking, Shadow?
Yes. I was calling my assistant for help on my portable radio, but something's wrong. I can't get an answer.
I am profoundly sorry for the situation in which we find ourselves. Had I been able to communicate to you the exact nature of my difficulties, you would have been prepared.
I am prepared, Doctor. This ship will never pass beyond the 3-mile limit. It will be stopped, searched.
But how?
I'm going to use this radio again. Star of Zealand. Star of Zealand calling the Coast Guard. Star of Zealand calling the Coast Guard. Go ahead, Star of Zealand. Go ahead. Professor John Hardy, missing scientist. Wanted by the Secret Service, prisoner firing aboard Star of Zealand. Proceeding down bay, stop and search. Stop and search, prepared for armed resistance. That is all. Okay, Star of Zealand. A Coast Guard cutter will investigate immediately.
You are indeed prepared, Shadow. But do not underestimate the cunning of Victor. At the first sign of danger, he will attempt to dispose of Professor Hardy and myself and you.
We must be prepared for that. Professor Hardy's mind completely gone?
No. For the past 24 hours, I have been treating him, have induced hypnotic sleep. He should be nearly rational now.
Then awaken him. There's no time to lose.
Very well. Professor Hardy. Come, Professor Hardy. It is time to waken. It is time to waken,
Shadow.
Professor Hardy.
Marco. Why did you leave the car? Aboard the ship. I called you, but received no reply.
When the ship sailed ahead of schedule, I was sure something gone wrong. Someone must have seen me coming aboard. They're searching the ship.
You're a godsend, Marco, but you mustn't be found on the ship. A Coast Guard cutter's on the way. You've got to get off before they arrive.
Don't worry about me. We're passing down the channel. It's only a couple of hundred yards to shore. Oh. Why, Dr. Waldeck is here. He was aboard. But who's that other man?
Professor John Hardy. But quick, Margot, get off the ship. You've done more than enough just opening the steel door.
All right, Shadow. Don't worry, I can swim 10 times that distance. There's a cargo door open on the port side.
Dive far out, Margot. And Margot, be careful of the suction of the propellers.
Good luck.
Come, Professor Hardy. Come, Professor Hardy.
Thank you. Thank you, Doctor. But, what has happened? Where is this Richter?
We are still on the ship, but help is coming. He is very weak, Shadow. Shadow, the door, it is open, but how?
Don't stop until you find the door. Alright, you must come with me.
The door, it is open. They have escaped.
Doctor, get back behind the door, out of sight.
Hey, that girl, she opened it. But they can't get off the ship. They can't be far from here.
Maybe they hide, maybe.
Ivan, you fool! Why did you close that door?
Well, I did not touch it.
Now, Richter, it is you who have walked into a trap.
So, you didn't have time to get away, Shadow.
Mr. Richter, the doctor, the professor, they are here.
Yes, so, you like to have what you Americans call the showdown. Very well, you shall have it, after I communicate with my captain. Captain! Captain!
Yes, sir.
Quick! Your men who are searching the ship, send them to this hold at once.
Immediately, sir.
And now, Shadow, we shall deal with you. Ivan, watch the good doctor and the professor. Their turn will come when we have finished with this Shadow once and for all.
You are too late, Richter. Listen.
There. So, the river police. Well, let them come. Before they can board us, there will be no trace of any of you.
Perhaps your captain is not so sure. He is calling you over the speaking tube.
Sir? Hello, hello.
Coast Guard cutter off our port bow, sir. She has readied us to halt for search.
Order full speed ahead and get your men down here.
But
quick.
We are not beyond the 3-mile limit.
Carry out my orders. Full speed ahead.
Yes, sir.
Desperate measures, but they will fail, Richter. They will fail. That was a blank, a warning. Your captain is being sensible. He stopped the engines.
Let them come. Let them search the ship. They'll find nothing. Nothing. Because I'm going to shoot you. They'll never think to look for bodies in the ballast tanks. My gun!
No. No, Richter. You're not going to add murder to your list of crimes.
Ivan, quick! I've got hold of the Shadow here. Take my gun. It's on the floor. The Shadow's here between me and the wall. Shoot him!
No. No. Oh, there is nothing there. I see nothing.
Shoot him!
You are mad!
Shoot him!
Mad. I go!
Dr. Waldeck, the gun! Pick it up!
Yeah. Put up your hands, Victor.
No, you don't! You'll never turn me over to the police! No.
Sorry, I had to hit Richter so hard, Dr. Waldeck. The Coast Guard won't meet much resistance when they arrest him. You are a witness to what has happened here.
Ahoy!
Listen, Doctor.
Help me, the
Star of
Dealers! We are coming aboard!
The Coast Guard!
Yes, they are coming aboard. You are safe now, Dr. Waldeck. Your faith in the power of the mind saved you and Professor Hardy, helped him keep his secret. Perhaps at some future time, under more favorable circumstances, we shall meet again.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that FCC obligation. We heard The Shadow, The Power of the Mind, with an original air date of the 24th of April, 1938. Bill Johnstone played Victor in that episode. He would go on to replace Orson Welles as The Shadow and Lamont Cranston in... Once Orson Welles left and just kept his pursuit in the Mercury Theater and the Mercury Theater on air. Coming up next is going to be episode 21 of Frontier Gentlemen with an original air date of the 28th of June, 1958. This one's titled The Gambling Lady. This stars John Daner as J.D. Kendall. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
I met a gambler in Wyoming Territory and learned something about the terrible war between the states. Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual story. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman. When I returned to Cheyenne in Wyoming Territory, I found that a new and thriving establishment had opened during my absence. I first heard of it over a drink with Carey Chase, the editor and publisher of the Cheyenne Daily Press. We were standing at the bar in the Gold Room Saloon, and I remarked on the fact that the adjacent gambling rooms seemed unusually quiet.
Been like this over a week now.
Any particular reason?
I guess you haven't heard about Madame Verdi.
No.
Quite a woman. Sailed in here 10 days ago, Denver, they say. Got the biggest painted freight wagon you ever saw. In some kind of a omnibus for her to travel in. Well, I tell you, no lady's boudoir was ever decked out any better.
And is she a medicine woman?
Oh, no, no. Gambling. Set herself up near the depot, a big tent, roulette, faro, anything you name. Brought in her own dealers, case keepers, spindlemen. Day after she arrived, posters went up all over town. And since then, well, the local boys aren't very happy about it.
Taking all their business, huh?
Just about.
What sort of woman is she?
I tried to get an interview. Not much luck. Doesn't like to talk about herself. But I tell you, there's a story there. I'd like to get it. Yes, sir. Quite a woman.
Pretty?
Pretty and a lady. A real belle.
Madame Verdi. Is she foreign?
I wouldn't say so. Why don't you go down and take a look this afternoon? I'd like to join you, but I got to get an editorial out. Maybe I'll see you later.
Right. I found the tent. A huge affair. 100 yards or so from the railroad depot. Inside, a crowd of men thronged about several tables, and I recognized a number of wealthy cattlemen whom I had met a few weeks earlier at the Cheyenne Club. Then I saw Madame Verdi. She was rather small, quite lovely, wearing a very simple white and gold gown which set off her long, jet-black hair. The effect was striking, as I was sure it was meant to be. She sat behind a small table dealing a game called 21. As I approached, she looked up, caught my eye for a moment, then returned to the game. I stood watching.
Todd?
You can hit me again, ma'am. Well, that's just fine.
You, sir?
I stand.
Page 21.
Allow
beer. No language shipping, please, gentlemen.
Yeah. I ain't never seen such luck as a buck of tiger get skin horn down Abilene. And when he got through, I didn't have a tail feather left.
The luck of the cards.
Yeah.
You want to sit in, sir?
There's
room for another.
No, thank you. 21 isn't exactly my game.
We have roulette, faro, dice, poker.
As a matter of fact, I came to see you.
Yeah, well, you ain't alone, mister. You see, there ain't nobody I'd rather lose to. You throw him out again, madam.
What's your business?
I'm a newspaper man. I write for the London Times.
You English fellas sure fill up a territory. Yeah, it seems like there's as many of you as a soon as you...
Are we playing or are we talking?
Todd, gentlemen.
You can hit me now, man. And again, a saw. Nice and saw. Yeah, I'll stay on this.
Hit me.
No, it ain't luck.
I'll let me sit in front.
Oh, now, you take these here.
Now, look here. I've been losing for better than 2 hours. I say that ain't luck. Unless you want me to shoot up this place, you just hand over that money you've been cheating me on.
Put your gun away.
Yes, I would if I were you. Listen, you're willing to fuck out and smoke, you just keep out of this. All right, Madam Verdi, I got 1,000 gold laying in front of you. Now, you just push it over and I won't be... You do.
Mister, you know, for an Englishman, you got a real likely fist there. Hey, look at that. He's asleep and he's gentle as a dead cat.
Is everything all right, ma'am?
Yes, thank you, ma'am. Take him outside and throw a bucket of water over.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell Charlie to take over from me.
Oh, you leaving, ma'am?
For a little while.
Well, I'll be waiting for you. Still got a ways to go before I'm cleaned out.
Let me stand you a drink, sir.
No, thank you. It's a little early for me.
I'm grateful for what you did just now. But really, it wasn't necessary. He never would have left the tent alive. My boys are always on the watch for things like that.
I didn't know.
What do they call you?
Kendall. J.B. Kendall.
Will you come over to my place, Mr. Kendall? It's quieter.
I'm overwhelmed, Madame Verdi. I must say I've never seen anything like it.
My home on wheels. I'm a traveling woman, Mr. Kendall. But I see no reason to give up my comfort. Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
Are you fond of birds, Mr. Kendall?
I don't think I've ever thought of it one way or the other.
This is my pet, Trinket. Been with me for 3 years now. I don't usually talk to newspaper men.
So I understand. Mr. Chase of the Cheyenne Press told me he didn't have much luck.
Some newspaper men have been rather unkind.
Well, I think that readers in England would be fascinated by you.
What, for example, would fascinate them?
The obvious. That a young and very pretty woman is running the most successful gambling establishment in Cheyenne. And she bears the somewhat unusual name, Madame Verdi.
It used to be Madame Vestal. That was in Denver.
And before that?
I was Mrs. Newt Hallett. My husband was an army surgeon. He died in Texas of yellow fever.
Oh.
After that, I tutored for a while at an Indian agency. Then I found that I possessed an uncommon skill with the cards. There now. You have my entire history.
Or at least something to start with. Where were you born?
I think that's one thing that I don't care to tell you.
Where were you reared?
And that's another.
Does the sort of thing that happened before in the tent occur very often?
No.
Do men take advantage of you simply because you're a woman?
The contrary. I usually take advantage of that fact myself.
With dire results, I have no doubt. Well, I imagine that you're not particularly popular at this moment with the gambling hall owners here in Cheyenne.
I'm only interested in popularity, Mr. Kendall. And it fills my cash box.
I stayed on for another 10 minutes odd and learned very little more beyond the fact that the full name she now used was Lurline Monteverdi. Highly theatrical, she knew, but felt it was part of her work. When I once again attempted to probe into her past, she excused herself rather abruptly and returned to the big gambling tent. I walked over to Carrie Chase's office and told him about the interview. It wasn't until later that I learned what was taking place at that same moment in a room behind the Silver Dollar Saloon. Several men were present, and their faces were grim. They were listening to the Silver Dollar's owner, a man named Jonas Root.
Now, boys, I call this here meeting because we're all up against the same trouble. That trouble being one calico queen named Madame Verdi. Ain't no call now for us to keep on trying to cut each other's throats to get customers for our places. Because she's got them all. That's the way it sits. Now, boys, here's what I figure. What we need now is an association of gambling parlor owners, which association is made up of all of us here in this room. And we got a purpose. Which purpose is to get rid of said calico queen named Madame Verdi.
All right, now lay off your tongue, all Jonas. We know that. Says you got to figure out how to do it. Now get
All right, I got it whipped, I think. Now, all of you may be wondering who this here fella is I got sitting by.
Yeah, well, who is
he? He calls himself Jack Woolcott. Now, he's got something to say to you.
Well, you say it this way. I just got robbed up to that Madame Verdi. She took me for $1,021, and when I caught her dealing off the bottom of the deck, she had a boy dump me.
Well, they sure made a mess out of your face, mister.
Well, I aim to make them pay for it.
Now, fellas, we don't want no crooked gambling from no she-gouger in Cheyenne. And there's something else. I've been doing some inquiring these past days since you've been here. Now, I found out... Yes, sir, I found out something's going to get Fancy Nelly run plumb out of here.
Jonas, will you hear the talk? Now, what do you know?
Madame Verdi's real name was Belle Siddons.
Belle Siddons? You mean Belle Siddons?
Yeah, you know the name, Soapy.
She's that Confederate spy, Belle Siddons.
She is the same.
Well, I was on guard duty in Grant Street Prison back in St. Louis when they brought her in. Boys, that's that red woman got Grant's troops cut off. Joe, Finch, Big Al, you remember the raid on the Memphis Mobile Railroad, don't you?
All right, now, I say that what we got to do is pay a call tonight on Madame Belle Siddons Verdi. And we'll ask her nice and polite to roll her wheels out of Cheyenne.
Yeah, I agree, but supposing she says no.
Well, then maybe we ain't so polite. Maybe then we take her out riding under a cottonwood leaf.
Yeah, that's true.
Can have the advantages of a tax-sheltered retirement plan. Corporations have long been able to set aside funds to provide retirement income for their employees and defer payment of taxes. Since 1962, self-employed individuals have been able to save in a tax-sheltered KEO plan. Now, Congress has developed IRA for individuals not covered by other plans. Social Security is not adequate to provide independence when you retire, but coupled with IRA, many people can now make their later years worry-free. Any wage earner who is not a participant in any other retirement plan may set up an IRA. The sooner you start, the better your retirement can be. Get your plan started at Highline Savings and Loan, Burien, Kent, Linwood, and Bellingham. And now, we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
Neither Chase nor I had any idea what was brewing among the members of the newly formed Association of Gambling Parlor Owners. I sent a message to Madame Verdi, asking her to dine with me at the Rollins House that night. You know, I didn't think you would.
Join you for dinner? Why not?
I don't know. Perhaps you strike me as the type of woman who never allows pleasure to interfere with business, and that there's only room for business in your life.
As a rule, yes.
Well, I'm flattered that you make an exception tonight.
I'm curious about you, Mr. Kendall.
Oh?
You're not the type of man I would expect to find as a newspaper correspondent.
Is there a type?
I think you know what I mean.
No, I'm not sure that I do.
The way you managed that man this afternoon, something tells me that you could have done quite as well with a gun.
Oh. Well, I've learned a little since coming to the West.
And what did you do before coming here?
Well, a little of everything.
You don't like to talk about yourself?
There's not much to tell. Really? I was in the army in India, spent 5 years there. Went home to England, and I didn't find it home anymore, so I got a job through a friend of mine who works on the London Times. I send back articles on life in the American West. They buy them from me.
I've met Englishmen who sound a great deal more English than you do.
It's quite possible. I haven't cultivated the accent for some time now.
You sound bitter. What happened in England?
I didn't say anything happened.
You didn't have to.
Must be your card sense that gives you an insight into a man's thoughts.
I'm seldom wrong. That's why I sit on the other side of the table. You see? It's so easy to ask questions. Not always as simple to answer them, is it?
No. Will you have more champagne?
Please. If I were asked to gamble on it, I'd say there was a woman in England.
You'd be half right.
You look so stern, Mr. Kendall. Don't worry. There'll be another. There always is.
Did you find another man after your husband died?
No. But I imagine I will. You find me terribly callous?
Not at all. Refreshingly honest.
I'm afraid I shall have to be going back to the tent now.
I'll take you.
I've enjoyed myself very much, Mr. Kendall.
So have I.
Do you have any money?
Well, a little, yes.
You decide to play roulette. I suggest that you bet on the black. Up to $1,000 payoff that can be quite lucky.
Thank you, no. When I gamble, I'll take my own chances. It was a fine evening. We had come to the end of the street when we saw the group of men waiting outside the big tent. They turned as we approached and walked toward us. I felt a sinking sensation in my stomach as I recognized one of them, the man I had hit that afternoon. All of them were armed.
Good evening, Madam Verdi.
Good evening, gentlemen. Waiting to try your luck with me?
Well, I'll tell you, ma'am, we're waiting to talk to you in private.
That fellow, he's with us. He's one of them that pistol whipped me. He's a shill.
Let's go inside the tent, gentlemen. I'll buy you a drink.
No. We'll do our talking out here.
Jason, will you get on with it?
The man, we represent the Cheyenne Association of Gambling Parlor Owners. You ain't a member.
No, I'm not.
And we got a complaint that you're not running your games clean. The association don't like that. So we took a vote, and we agreed that you got to be out of this here town come morning.
Where did you hear that Madame Verdi runs a crooked game? From him?
Yeah, from me.
Besides which, she ain't no Madame Verdi. I know you. Maybe you don't remember me, but I seen you, Bell Siddons, when they brought you to the St. Louis prison in chains. We don't want no Confederate spies in Cheyenne.
I don't know anything about that, but she wasn't cheating. Your friend here decided he couldn't afford to lose anymore, so he drew his gun on the lady and tried to get it back. I hit him. That's all there was to it.
You're a liar.
And if I don't choose to leave?
You ain't got no choice, Belle. You get, or you're going to find yourself looking through cottonwood leaves, which is what should have happened to you anyway. That's the way we handle your kind around here.
There won't be any need for that. Miss Siddons is going to be sensible, ain't you, ma'am? There's a lot of folks in Cheyenne might not take kindly to you being a Confederate spy and everything. Might even take matters out of our hands if they found out.
You gentlemen seem to be holding the cards.
That's the way to look at it.
Hey, Kendall.
Who's that?
Oh, the newspaper fella. Chase.
I thought that was you. Evening, ma'am.
Evening.
Oh, how are you, Rude?
Chase.
Boy, I've come over to see how she does it. I hear your places aren't making out so well. I thought I'd take a spin at the roulette table, Madam Verdi.
I should be honored, Mr. Chase. Why don't we all go in together?
No. I got to be getting back the silver dollar. You won't forget our little deal, will you, ma'am?
No, I won't.
We went into the tent. She was tight-lipped, pale. Four hours later, at exactly 2:00, she called a halt to the play and the tent was cleared. Chase, flushed with whiskey he had taken and $100 he had won, joined me at her table.
A fine evening, ma'am. You're a credit to Cheyenne. You run the square game, and I'm going to say so in my next editorial.
Thank you, Mr. Chase, but you needn't bother. I'm leaving in the morning.
Oh, now you can't do that.
I'll be heading for Deadwood.
Why, ma'am, you could spend the rest of your life around here.
I'm afraid not.
Well, sure you can. Isn't that so, Kendall?
No, that ain't so. She's getting out. But before she does, she'd give me back that $1,000.
Ain't you, Madam Verdi?
I very much doubt it. Go away now, before you get into more trouble.
Now you keep out of this, mister. I'm talking to the lady. Now, how about it, Madam Verdi?
You lost fair.
And I say I was cheated. You know, folks in Cheyenne could do a lot of damage this place. Maybe to you if they found out about certain things.
Get out.
I will. When I get my money.
What's it all about? What?
Oh, he doesn't know, huh? Well, Mr. Chase, you can print it in your paper.
Friends what?
Well, do I get it?
Yes.
No. No, it doesn't matter. Let him talk. The war's over. People won't mind.
People do mind, Mr. Kendall. I'm afraid they're going to go on minding for a long time.
I wish somebody would tell me what people will talk about.
That's good.
You're a scummy little rat.
Maybe. But I was a rat that fought for the Union. I wasn't a stinking...
Shut up.
Don't
try.
Here's your money.
the matter, mister? You scared to draw?
Just waiting for you. You're the one who's going to do the killing, remember?
Bell City. Dirty, stinking, Confederate spot.
Bell City?
Yes. I'm sorry you had to do that, Mr. Kendall.
I am too.
I'll be gone in the morning. Thank you for your friendship.
Why not stay? Mr. Chase,
I think she better go. Thanks to Miss Siddons, I lost my brother in the Memphis Mobile raid. I'll wait for you outside, Kendall.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeannie Bates, Lawrence Dobkin, Stacey Harris, Harry Bartell, and Jack Crucian. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
That was episode 21 of Frontier Gentlemen, starring John Daner. An original air date of the 28th of June, 1958. That episode was titled The Gambling Lady. In the first half of the show, I featured The Shadow, The Power of the Mind. An original air date of the 24th of April, 1938. This is how I started the Grand Hour several years ago, playing a double feature of The Shadow and a Western, but at that time it was the Six Shooter. We got one Six Shooter left in the can, so they say. But a programming note, the 23rd of September last week, I didn't know what I was going to play at the end of the show. I ended up playing episode 255 of Gunsmoke, titled Impact, that had an original air date of the 24th of February, 1957. My name is Arthur. You've been listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. This show has been previously recorded, and coming up next is going to be CR with the Worst Boys Guild. Thanks.